Happy Pro Day. The Woody Hayes Athletic Center is about to be a lot busier on this Wednesday. This is the Podcast Daily. Getting ready for Pro Day with the Buckeyes. He's Bill Landis. I am Austin Ward. And I can think of a lot of other Pro Days that have had a lot more juice around it than this one, Bill.
Yeah. And it's like no offense to the guys that are chasing the NFL dream. And it's actually, it's probably more of like a, it's a positional thing. I think that's all it is, right? There's no quarterback. And there's Marvin Harrison Jr., but we're not expecting him to do much. And it's like, if you don't have a star quarterback and or star receivers, when like the most exciting thing you can do on a pro day is for a quarterback to throw to wide receivers, then it's like you're just kind of watching guys run around and like do, I don't know, underwear Olympics. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see what the vibe is like in here later on Wednesday without maybe as much star power as we're used to seeing out here for Ohio State.
Yeah, and again, that's like – not a knock on the assembled talent, because Marvin Harrison Jr. is obviously going to pack them in here as teams at the top of the draft in the top 10 come in to get a closer look. I'm not sure what else they need to see about him, honestly. It doesn't really make that much difference. Yeah.
Wouldn't it be – so Berm and I were talking about this before we started recording stuff, because like there's stuff coming out now that like maybe Marvin is not wide receiver one, perhaps even wide receiver three.
Three?
Which is like it's absurd. We can acknowledge the absurdity of it. But also, maybe not the worst thing in the world to be wide receiver. Like, you'd go to a much better team, wouldn't you? If you did happen to fall to, like, I don't know, number nine instead of number three. Like, I don't, he's going to be wide receiver one. I hope he is. He should be. But if for some reason the NFL can't get out of its own way and decide that they want to take Malik Nabers and Brian Thomas or Roma Dunze before they take Marvin Harrison Jr., I think that would be great for Marv, because he'd go to a much better team that might win sooner than the team he'd go to otherwise.
It's silly season. And I've covered Ohio State now for a dozen years, so at this point it's like hard to compare it to some of the other places I've been. But it feels like more insanity applies to the players on this roster than anywhere else, which doesn't make any sense, because it doesn't bear out at the next level. Like, Ohio State continues to get the highest paid players like every other position in the NFL. Like, the developed tier thing is legit. The proof is in the contractual pudding at the next level.
My favorite flavor of pudding.
And it is a delight. and it's also why, even though there's not a C.J. Stroud throwing on Wednesday in the Woody, there will still be, I bet, 90-plus representatives of NFL teams in to see Marv and Cade Stover and Tommy Eichenberg and Steel Chambers and the rest of that list. A lot of those guys who are already back in the Woody on Tuesday going through some day-before prep to get ready for that. I don't know. They also have all played so much football. I don't really know what there is for them to prove. And that's been one of the interesting parts about Ohio State's Pro Day the last couple of years for me, is that it's become a showcase for the next wave. They get the bonus Pro Day opportunity since they relax a little bit of the rules. And what I was saying earlier is, like, it's not a knock on the current talent that there's not as many of them. That's a tribute to the group that decided to come back. This could have been a crazy Pro Day. And the 2025 one will be bonkers with the amount of pro prospects. But it's a good thing that you don't have to have an insanely scrutinized pro day. And it's going to be interesting for us, because Ryan Day confirmed to you on Tuesday that Will Howard and Devin Brown will both be throwing for the wide receivers. So outside of Student Appreciation Day, the spring game, and the other full open practice, this will be the, again, not a full padded opportunity, but the longest look that we get at the quarterbacks throwing the football around.
Yeah, I'm excited about that. Like, it's not real football, quote unquote, but there are instructive things I believe about routes on air, and also just to like finding some kind of consistency when like everyone in the NFL is watching you throw the football, right? That is a nervous environment, I would imagine, for any player, especially quarterbacks who are, you know, they're not trying to show their draft wares just yet, but they hope to be drafted one day, especially Will Howard, right? Like, Will Howard put off going to the NFL, come back to Ohio State and get a little better and improve that draft stock. And I'm not trying to make too much of it, but it feels actually kind of important for him, doesn't it? Like, they get an opportunity to have his first of what will be two pro days, not dissimilar from like what C.J. Stroud had, not with the same scrutiny, but scrutiny nonetheless, I think. So it'll be fun to watch those guys throw a little more. Like, we've seen them throw, what, in two practices, like, 15 passes each, maybe. So we'll get to see a little more from those guys. Throw into, I would assume, like, Cade Stover and Xavier Johnson, and I think Sam Wigloose is going to be here working out too. Not expecting them to throw to Marvin, although maybe he'll surprise us and run some routes. Marvin does kind of strike me as a guy who's going to like watch like the first 20 minutes of routes, himself. And he's like, I got to get out there. Yeah, so we'll see.
I think he should just set up the monitor and let people watch.
Yeah.
Because it's pretty cool when he does that.
It's pretty awesome. Show. Yeah.
I suspect this is a pure guess. I don't know. Haven't talked to Marv, even though he's been in the facility for the last couple of weeks, about his plan. I don't think he maybe would tell me anyway. But Marv doesn't need to run the 40. Marv doesn't need to run a shuttle. Doesn't need to run cones. Doesn't need to do a high jump, broad jump. He doesn't need to do any of that testing. But I bet he runs routes because that's just where I would put some money. Because he likes
route man Marv.
He's route man Marv, and he loves to do it. Like, he'd be doing it anyway.
That is the point. Like, at some point on Wednesday, Marvin Harrison Jr. is going to be on this field running routes. Why not do it when the NFL guys are in here?
Yeah, and sometimes just ask Zach Wilson. All you need to bump your stock up another notch or two is to do something crazy in pro day. And then it trumps all your other film. And by the way, Marv's film's already pretty good.
Well, yeah, one crazy thing that is in no way applicable to what happens on a football field, and then you become the second pick in the draft.
I think he should run a route blindfolded.
Catch the ball behind his back.
He doesn't have to go behind the back. Just run a route blindfolded. Count on the Monarch. That's it. He hasn't thrown enough maybe with Devin Brown or Will Howard to have that faith for a blind route. But he could do it with the Monarch. He knows the Monarch's going to be consistent. He knows where the ball's going to be.
Yeah. Blindfold. The chemistry between Marv and the Monarch is unchallenged.
Blindfolded Monarch. That's what I want to see on Pro Day. That's what we're getting to right now. There are people who have something to gain from this, potentially.
Yes.
For me, that probably would start with Mike Hall. He made the decision for whatever factors are in that necessitated him moving on or wanting to move on to the NFL draft. We know what the high-level potential is. The NFL talent evaluators already know what he can do physically. They've seen the seven snaps and the Michigan State tape. They know what he can do, but it never happened because of injury or other reasons, like at the consistency that I think we all thought was going to happen for him. That means probably an NFL team is going to get a steal at some point, be my guess. But he's one that I think could really help himself, because I'm not hearing anything like higher than fourth or fifth round for him. And that just doesn't match the raw athleticism he has.
No, it tracks with the production probably, but especially with defensive linemen, it seems like they get drafted much more off traits than they do production. And Mike Hall's traits are incredible. He did not work out into the combine. Is that right? I know he was out there, but so like this will be, assuming he does some stuff, an opportunity for people just like watch him move around, like run the hoop and do some stuff with Larry Johnson that like showcases that athleticism, which is, I would have to imagine, among the best in this draft. I don't think, from what I've gathered, it's a particularly strong defensive tackle draft. I don't know that there's a whole lot of like definite like first round guys. So I think Mike Hall has an opportunity to push himself up the board a little bit, like maybe to like a third rounder. Because I think you're right. If a team is taking him like in the fifth round and like everything comes together and really clicks for him at the next level, he's definitely going to be a steal.
Yeah. See Xavier Johnson back there getting ready for his pro day. He's another really intriguing one. I think maybe it doesn't wind up with his name being called in the seven rounds, although he's got the opportunity to run a good time that maybe turns heads. And every time he got the football in his hands, like virtually every time, there was something electrifying that happened. He made plays in big games. He delivered when Ohio State needed. He's a very good player, and certainly the journey from walk-on to the NFL is not that common. But, man, with that skill set, he could put on a really good workout that at least puts him in a strong position to get a UDFA deal once the draft is over. And who knows, maybe something else could happen beyond that. But he's got room to grow in this. You got Matthew Jones. He's played a lot of football and can help we only saw him briefly at center. I mean, we talked about that for really 5 years. But,
yeah.
I bet that he'll do some snapping stuff on Wednesday as well. So there's certainly guys here that can help. Like the true headliners beyond Marv, like they're all coming back to Ohio State, and they'll be watching on Wednesday and then getting ready for their own practice again on Thursday.
Yep.
Again, that's a good thing for Ohio State, even if you look at this and compare draft classes and pro day to what's going on in Ann Arbor right now. Like, that situation is different, and there's good reason for that, and they're also going different directions for the future.
Yeah, I mean, more often than not, that's what Ohio State's pro day looks like, and it will definitely look like that next year. It's looked like that probably 80% of the time over the last 10 years. It's okay to have a lighter one, I think, for Ohio State, because like you said, that means you're loading up for the coming season. I'm excited to see what Kate Stover does. I think there's an interesting conversation happening about who's the next tight end drafted after Brock Bowers. And Kate Stover seems to be definitely in that conversation. You see him TE2, you see him TE3, I think maybe four or five, some other places. But there are people that are really high on his skill set. And I think specifically like in a pro day setting, you just get to watch him run around, right? And I think that's the his like fluidness, his athleticism, especially now that he's removed from the season and presumably healed from a lot of those bumps and bruises that were holding him back a little bit, especially like in the second half of the season and certainly the year before that. Like, he's a really explosive athlete, and pro day would be an opportunity to show that. And I don't know that he solidifies like tight end two status with a good pro day, but I think it's all about like keeping himself in that conversation to not be a first round pick, because I don't think that's where the second tight end is going to go in the draft. But second round pick, I think, like early day two, perhaps for Kate Stover. I think he does have that kind of athletic upside.
I think he'll test better than most tight ends. Maybe not better than Bowers, but we'll see. I mean, when he's healthy, and maybe that's the key part, the teams will want to keep looking at the medical and the things that he worked through the last 2 years. That when he got to be 100% be Kate Stover, like, this man was a running back in high school and has some straight line speed that I don't know that he gets maybe
the best basketball player in the state.
Yeah, so he's got those tools. So that part will still be interesting. And you always learn something about Ohio State on a pro day, whether that's, you know, looking back or forward or both. I'm excited to cover another one. And we'll do that later on Wednesday back in the Woody Hayes Athletic Center. And then whatever we can glean, we will pass on to you guys on the podcast daily and some snap judgments moving forward as then the Buckeyes get ready, the current ones, for practice number 4 on Thursday morning. But that'll do it as we get ready for this day ahead. He's Bill Landis. I'm Austin Ward. Thanks for joining us. So long.